Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall, and now a conversation with one of the great musical artists of our time. Jesse Norman is that rare opera singer who has achieved a level of celebrity enjoyed by actors and rock stars. But to call Jesse Norman only an opera singer is to ignore the wide-ranging repertoire that she's performed and recorded, as well as her other artistic endeavors, which, for example, include curating a groundbreaking festival at Carnegie Hall. She's also been an outspoken advocate for civil rights and a long-standing ambassador for arts education. She has written a new memoir, which she and I will discuss at the Walters Art Museum on Friday night as part of the Pratt Library's Writers Live series. The book is called Stand Up Straight and Sing. And this morning, Jesse Norman joins me on the phone from her home outside of New York City. Ms. Norman, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
So why did you decide to write a memoir? You've been in front of the public for, gosh, almost 50 years. Yeah. And folks think they know you, but I wonder, in this memoir, what would you like folks to know about you?
I would like folks to know about the people who helped to make me, to know about my family. And only I can tell this story. Very often, people that are in the public eye for whatever reason have books written about them rather than writing their own book. And so I was very happy to finally have the opportunity to write the kind of book that I wished to write, which was not going to be a coffee table book with just a lot of photographs with captions under the photographs, but to actually tell my story, which is not unlike a lot of other stories that could be told by people in the States, but somehow we don't get around to doing that. And I was very, very interested in being able to say in my own words what has brought me to this point in my life.
Well, it really is an amazing journey from your childhood in Augusta, Georgia, to the great stages of the world.
Yes.
I wonder, as you organized it and thought about it and put it together and wrote it, did you find yourself reassessing your life and your career? Did you learn anything new about Jesse Norman?
No, I didn't. I can't say that I learned anything new that wasn't there already. What I did learn and what still fascinates me is how the brain actually functions. Things about which I had not thought for years were absolutely vivid once I had a trigger to bring that to the forefront of my memory. And I was very fascinated by that. And I have two or three friends that are neuroscientists, and I've spoken with them about this. And it is amazing that in this way we've only been studying the brain and how it functions for maybe 60 years. We've been talking about sort of the id and the superego and all of that for a much longer time than we've been actually working on how this incredible organ actually functions. And where is distant memory? And where is memory that happened yesterday? And how is that stored? And how do we sort of make recollections? And that is one of the things that I found so interesting. Because, I mean, I could remember, giving myself a trigger, talking about being in elementary school, and suddenly I was in elementary school. I could sort of see the classroom. I sort of know, I remembered where my seat was. Of course, we always sat in alphabetical order, so that wasn't too complicated to remember. But I was fascinated by seeing that recollections are there on the hard drive, as I call it, of the brain, and one just has to sort of put in, I guess, the right code to have the information come up. It's something that I found really fascinating.
It's really an incredible story as well. You write a lot about your family and about their activities in the civil rights movement. Your mom was registering voters Georgia well before the Voting Rights Act was passed in 1965.
Yes.
And you write that it's very important to talk about race and the civil rights movement for people who did not live through that time. I wonder, are you concerned that young people today are not as politically engaged as you and your family were when you were growing up?
Oh, yes, that is very much a concern. And I wonder how that's come about. I don't know whether we're our younger generation, whether they're so preoccupied with getting through school and trying to get a job in this worrisome job market at the moment. But I wish that we would understand, all of us, that it is our duty, aside from our professions, to be fully engaged citizens, which means that we have to participate in what is happening in our communities and to understand what is happening in the social and political lives of ourselves and others, and to know that we we should contribute to that as well.
Is there, do you think, a particular responsibility or obligation or even opportunity for artists like yourself and others who have a public forum and public recognition, you know, for them to be politically engaged?
No, I think it is really necessary not just for people that have a forum and have perhaps their professional lives happening in front of the public, but for all of us. And it's really rather difficult to come to terms with the fact that when we have national elections in this country, that we have a third, perhaps, of the population participating in this franchise. This is something that we really should be ashamed of and which we should work towards changing, because it really is up to all of us to see to it that we have the government that we want and need, and that the government that sort of is the result of somebody else voting for that.
You write about your experiences on stage. And of course, you've been on so many stages in this incredible career. And you write that the energy of the audience can lift the level of a performance. From the stage, how do you sense that energy from the house?
Oh, you can sense energy. You can sense excitement, of course. But you can also sense an incredible listening that an audience might be doing. And that is really wonderful when you feel that everybody, and you can feel this. I mean, we need to understand that energy is a living thing, and that we can transport positive energy, and I'm afraid that we can transport the other kind as well. And when you're in a performance and on the stage and the audience is really listening to what is going on, you can do things that you've never rehearsed because you have their attention.
And that whole notion of risk-taking on the stage and in the moment, and you've been a great risk-taker all of your life. I mean, just with the kind of repertoire that you've chosen to feature, you sing jazz,
yes.
You've sung spirituals, musical theater, as well
yes.
as opera and recitals, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, who is your ideal listener? I mean, you bring, obviously, your artistry and experience to every performance, but what should the listeners bring?
The listener should bring an open heart and open ears. And be prepared to hear a song that they might be listening to for the first time, or a song that they've heard many, many times, but it's going to be perhaps a bit different than they've heard it before, but to be open to that, and to be open to the kind of programming that I enjoy, and to not come with preconceived ideas as to what an opera singer ought to be singing, and to just be ready for whatever is on the program, and to come into that program with an open mind and an open heart.
Well, Jesse Norman, it's been fun talking to you this morning. I look forward to continuing our conversation on Friday night at the Walters. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Jesse Norman's new memoir is called Stand Up Straight and Sing. Miss Norman and I will be at the Walters Art Museum on Friday night to talk more about the book and her amazing life and career. It's part of the Enoch Pratt's Writers Live series, and it's being presented in conjunction with the Walters. It starts at 7 o'clock. Come to WIPR.org/Maryland Morning for more information. That's it for us today. On Friday, theater critic J. Wynn Russick will join me for a conversation about the new show at the Hippodrome Theater, and our movie gurus, Jed Dietz and Anne Hornaday, will give us their tips on what films to catch in this holiday season. I'm Tom Hall. Until then, thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
Maryland Morning is an original production
of your public radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Matt Purdy.
We have production help from
Connor Graham,
Payam Agagasam,
and Elizabeth Sherwood.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
On this day in Maryland history, in 1948, the House Un-American Activities Committee announced that Whitaker Chambers, a former communist spy, had hidden microfilm of secret documents inside a pumpkin on his farm in Carroll County. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for joining us today. See you Friday.